Good morning. We welcome today to give us the message on Pastor Matt's absence, Reverend Randy Hall. He retired in September of 17 after serving as pastor of Fairmont Presbyterian Church in Lexington. He and Jane have four adult children, Zach, Anna, Daniel, and Alex. And they are owned by two cats, Cameron and Desi. We have two prayer shawls this morning we'll get started that are going to the hospice house. Now, I've had a prayer request for Ed Tucker, who had surgery for a broken leg on Friday. Friday's when it was. No confirmation this week. Silly goes bowling the 25th of January at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Y. And I think the congregational meeting will be February the 24th. Does anybody else have any other announcements for the church this morning? Libby. What Sunday is the audit? February 3rd will be audits. I may have missed that. Yes, I did. Okay, let's start our service. Oh, wait a minute, birthdays. Birthdays today, we have Angie Laster, Burnett Monteith, Judy Thomason, Wayne Easter, Jennifer Lohr, Sarah Kepley, and Adair Vonner. Happy anniversary to Billy and Betty Roberts. What number would that be? 75. And Kevin and Anissa Stewart. Let us pray. Keep watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand for confession as we begin our worship on page 211 in the Red Book. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. By grace we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Hymn 688. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and would the children come forward.
Good morning, everybody. Well, our lesson today is about the wedding in Cana. So, Mary and Jesus and the disciples went to a wedding. What do you expect they saw at the wedding? What do you think they had there?
Food.
What else?
Flowers.
Flowers. Things like that. Well, after the wedding, and they were having the reception, there were a lot of people there, and they were eating and they were drinking, and they ran out of wine. And in the olden days, when you ran out of wine, that was not good, because as a host or hostess, that means you weren't very well prepared. So Mary asked Jesus to help out. Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." And she insisted. So maybe Mary may have been helping them at the wedding reception. So Jesus had the servants go and fill large stone jars with water. Well, I don't have any large stone jars, but we've got some water here. And I've got one pitcher that's got water in it and one that doesn't. So let's just see. So they poured the water into the pitcher. And Jesus told them to take the first cup so that they could test it. And they turned water into wine, or Jesus turned water into wine, okay? Now, what I did was a trick, okay? What Jesus did was a miracle, okay? Because I used a little bit of food coloring to help me out. Okay? So, this was Jesus' very first miracle, okay, out of many that he would perform. So just by those servants following his directions and pouring regular water into those stone jars, he turned water into wine. And it was better than the wine that the host of the party was serving. And they usually save the best for last after everybody's senses had been dulled just a wee bit, okay, from the food and the wine. So that was an amazing thing. All right, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son and giving us miracles. Let us follow his word and serve him. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. Have a great week.
The first lesson today is from the book of Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until the vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see the vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem at the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, "My delight is in her," and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm today is Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. They'll be read responsively. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like
the great deep. You save humans and animals alike. How priceless is your house, Lord, O God. All people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your life.
For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Second reading today is from the book of Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I did not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord.
Please remain standing as you are for the reading of the gospel. Comes to us, and we've already had it told. I almost feel like we don't need to read it again. We had a great children's lesson and the telling of it. But hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. Jesus said to them, "Now draw out some and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward had tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this and it was the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, good morning. This is a tall pulpit. It will adjust a little bit, but I'll hold off on that. I didn't realize Matt was that much taller than I am. But it is good to be with you today, and I appreciate your pastor, Matt, inviting me here. Matt and I were able to work together for a little while before I retired in community projects, and he is a good guy. I'm glad that he's here with you. And he'd asked me one time before to be able to be here and preach, and I was unable to do that, so it's nice to be with you today. Whether you know it or not, I'm really your neighbor. I live just down the street, go down Holly Grove and turn right on Embler Road, and I bought my lot from Fred Lohr. It was his backyard, and I bought it and built a log house there that I've been there about a dozen years now. And so so I am your neighbor there, and it's good to be with you today. This is a lovely story, and it's a wonderful story. It comes early in John's gospel, and it's a story about weddings. Now, weddings have changed dramatically through the years. I've been doing weddings for over 40 years. The first wedding that I did was a surprise wedding. Some of you knew my sister. She just died back in November. Her name, Donna Black. She was the director of communities and schools. Before that, she was the executive director of the United Way of Davidson County. And she and I always talked about, she had a ministry of her own. It just didn't have a church building. And she touched many more people, reached many more people than I have. Well, Donna died, and we had her funeral, and I told this story. It was her wedding, was the first wedding that I performed. And I wasn't even supposed to be there for her wedding. I mean, she was remarrying her first husband from whom they had been divorced, and they decided to get back together. And it was a second wedding, so there was no big hullabaloo, you know, just a quiet little wedding, and just basically the parents were there for it. So, Dr. Sim Seisliff, I was in his dentist chair. And I had a really bad cavity, apparently, so he had numbed. You know how you go to the dentist and sometimes they just give you a little numbing, and then sometimes the whole side of your body is numb. You know how that is. Well, I had one of those. It was a big cavity, a lot of numbing. One whole side of my face was numb. And you know how long that numbing, if they numb it that deeply, it lasts. You drink something for the next couple of hours and half of it spills down the front of you because you got no feeling on that side of your mouth, and half of what you drink feels hot and half of it feels cold. It's just a crazy sensational experience when you have that. Well, I was like that, and just as Sim was getting ready to start, this was before the days of cell phones and all that, it's a long time ago. The receptionist at the front came up and said to me, she said, "Mr. Hall, your sister needs to talk with you. She's on the phone." So I had to get up out of the chair, take everything off, and go back. And Donna said to me, "Randy, the pastor, Reverend Ritchie, Lutheran pastor, he was here, you remember him." She said, "He hasn't shown up. And we've got to get married because we've got to leave at a certain time. You're going to have to come and perform the marriage, perform the wedding." I've never done a wedding. I had only been married myself for about 2 months. And I said, "Well, Donna, I just can't do that." But I think my mouth is really numb. And she said, "You got to come. Reverend Ritchie, we don't know where he's at. You've got to do it." And so I told her that I had to let Sim go ahead and do the procedure while the mouth was numb, and he did. And so it was a little while before I got to First Lutheran there in Lexington, and I was hoping all that time that Reverend Ritchie was going to show. And I got there. No, he's not there yet. And I kept putting things off as long as I could, and still no Reverend Ritchie. And so I had this book that had been used in my wedding, and so I stood there and I performed the vows. Have any of you ever seen movie Princess Bride? And you remember the minister at the end, the priest who's doing the ceremony, has this speech impediment. And he talks about, "Wolf, sweet wolf." Yeah, that's exactly how I sounded, with half of my face numb. And we somehow worked our way through it. Well, that was my first wedding, leading a wedding. And they've really changed over the years. The last wedding that I did was down in Georgia. And we had a great time. Those people spent out big bucks. It was at this Chateau Elan. Have you ever seen that on the way down there? I mean, it is really gorgeous, and they put out big bucks for all this. And it was an outdoor wedding, but everything went fine. And I told them, I said, "Look, I don't want any photographer or videographer moving around during the wedding, because that's a distraction. And a wedding is a worship service, right?" So I said to them, "You know, none of that." But as soon as I pronounced them husband and wife, suddenly there was this zzzz going on, and I'm thinking, what is this? You know what it was? Drones. Drones up everywhere, just flying and making all these videos and making all these pictures. It was an unreal experience. I tell you, weddings have changed a lot in 45 years. Some things have. But some things are eternal. We can maybe think about weddings that we have today and go back and realize that what was going on in Cana that day with Jesus, there were some things that are just very identical and similar to what we have today. Maybe you can think about your wedding, and you know, there are seldom neutral feelings about weddings. It either goes really well or it goes very badly. Usually it's somewhere in between the two. There are always a few things that go wrong, and there are always a few things that are just wonderful. Whatever your feelings are, though, they probably run pretty strong. Very similar to this in Cana. Wonderful children's lesson and story about it. I've been to Israel several times. I've been to Cana, and would you believe I've been to two different Canas? We don't know where Cana was. We know it was around Sea of Galilee, but sort of between Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee, but we don't know exactly. The town itself was just lost to history. But there are a couple places that claim to be Cana, and you can go there. And one of them, we went there, and we went downstairs into it. And sure enough, there were these, they had preserved some of these big 20-gallon water jugs there. It's just incredible. And you know the story, of course. What happened is that they ran out of wine. And it was just such disheartening. It was going to be embarrassing for the host. I mean, it was going to be the talk of the town for years, probably. Well, you remember when they ran out of wine? And so apparently Mary, Jesus' mother, a lot of the scholars think she may have even been related to the wedding party, because they came to Mary. She had some responsibility for things, and then they told her they were out of wine. So Mary went to Jesus, and she said to him, basically she's wanting him to do something about it. Mary must have, in raising this child, who was now 30, must have seen some of the things that he could do. And so she says to Jesus that she would like him to do something about it. And he did. They filled up these 6 20-gallon jars of water, and they were turned into 20 gallons of wine of extremely high quality. Jesus' disciples were already with him, and the stewards who took the wine or the servants who took it to the steward knew. And they were astounded. You know, when I was thinking of Jesus doing this, we have now here a local popular brewery in the old Lexington Furniture, you know. Can you imagine how much they would pay Jesus to come by just once a week? You know, none of the fermentation, none of all this stuff they got to do, adding the hops and whatever it is they add to it. Just once a week, Jesus, come by. Well, there are many lessons in this story for us today. There's not nearly enough time to consider what they are. Like most preachers, I got 3 to mention to you. First of all, Jesus changed, and Jesus still changes the ordinary into the extraordinary, the extraordinary. The key word in that phrase is changes. Jesus is the change element in the human spirit. It takes God's spirit to change the human spirit. Now, part of the reason I know this is that ever since I was in seminary, I've been involved in prison ministry. And you remember Chuck Colson, who was Richard Nixon's special counsel, and he writes about this in his book Born Again and some of the others. Chuck Colson's heart was changed when he went to prison, and he came to realize as he stayed in prison there and talked with lots of fellow prisoners and was threatened by some of them, started a Bible study, and it changed people's lives. He came to realize that the only way that a person's heart is going to change is with God's help. And so he founded a great ministry. This weekend, we are remembering Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement, a lot of us of our age, we don't realize that the Civil Rights Movement was going on long before Martin Luther King was even born. But it had trouble getting traction until Martin Luther King and other leaders brought Christ into it. They brought the moral authority of God Almighty into the Civil Rights Movement. And when they did, it began to gain traction. The forces of prejudice and hate and intolerance were too ingrained and strong. But when Christians became involved, not just black Christians, but white Christians also, the moral force of God's Spirit became the change element that eventually led to, in the mid-60s, the Civil Rights Act. But that didn't end it, folks. We continue to need God's Spirit to work in our lives and to work in our culture and our churches, our country, to help us follow God's law that we should love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love all of our neighbors, red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in God's sight. To love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So, that's the first point. Second point is, both Presbyterians and Lutherans owe our traditions and our church life to people who saw a need for change in a church that no longer practiced God's grace above human judgment. The need to change a church that had replaced God's love with human law. You and I, from our different traditions, owe our very church life primarily to those two men. You know them, Martin Luther, John Calvin. and the men and the women who were captured by their vision of a church that is built on the Word of God. Both God's written Word and also God's Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, United Churches of Christ, all of our traditional churches, as you know, we are being faced once again with a call to change. And changing is a struggle. You know it is. You wake up in the morning and try a different routine. You won't know which room of the house you're in. Change is hard. Like many of you, I am a child of the traditional church, and I love it. I love our traditions and our songs, our denominational connections. I love the food we serve. But once again, the rapid cultural forces that surround us are challenging us. In the eyes of the generation, you know what, the generation coming up now is called Generation Z. I don't know where we're going to go to after that. But it's called Generation Z. And they believe that we have taken the wine of God's vineyard and we've changed it back into water. Mark Twain said, the only person who likes change is a wet baby. You know, change comes hard. Phyllis Tickle, God bless her, she died not long ago, great author and speaker. Her last book was called The Great Emergence, and it was about what's going on in churches in our generation, in our time. And she writes that every 500 years, the Christian church has a rummage sale. And things, lots of old things get sold away, get taken away. And lots of new things come in. She said the last great rummage sale that we had was started by Martin Luther, John Calvin. It's called the Great Reformation. Guess how long ago that was? 500 years. And she says, what we're seeing in Christian churches today is this great emergence of a new kind of church and new traditions. The time is upon us to open up our personal and our church lives to God's Spirit. Let God's Spirit bring the change that God wills. Third thing to mention to you now, and the last, I don't know what those changes are going to be. I have some ideas, but that's another message for another time. But what I do know is that those changes will not be possible until we, individually and corporately as church bodies, regain a sense of the word covenant. The Bible speaks of God's covenant with God's people, and it also talks about the covenant between one person and another. That's what a marriage is. Promises, covenant. The word covenant, biblically speaking, basically, the basic meaning of it is a binding together. It's taking two things separate and it is binding them together. Neil, you've done a good job as a liturgist, and in Neil's reading of Isaiah's words, the prophet is talking to a people who've been taken off into captivity, but he's giving them a word of hope. The covenant is going to be renewed, the covenant which the people had broken. God's going to renew that with you. And one day the builder, who is God, is going to bring the people back. And they're going to be bound together as in, as I said, as in a marriage. Paul writes of the church as a community. And it's a community where the people are bound so closely together that the differences in them become their strength. Can you imagine? You know, don't want to get political, but wouldn't it be nice to live in a day and time when the differences between people are a strength rather than a weapon to turn us on each other? The differences becoming a strength is what Paul was talking about in the letter to the Corinthians. He compared the church to a human body. The human body, so many different parts. What an amazing creation we are. So many different parts that work together for us to be able to walk and see and hear and eat and do all those things. And I'm getting to that age where I realize they aren't working together as well as they used to. But they still do. Herbie and I can still go out and play some golf. Not as good as we did, but it's all right. Well, the human body working together with all its different parts, Paul said that's what the church is like. When we come into covenant with each other, all of our differences that we have are not meant to move us away from each other. They actually bind us together because we need each other. So closely do we work together that Paul calls us, the church, the body of Christ. That day at the wedding in Cana, there were two very special things that happened. There was this wonderful miracle of the water being turned into wine. And then there was a covenant between two people to be bound together no matter what life threw at them. It was about 3 years later that Jesus took the wine of the Passover meal and said to his disciples, This wine is the blood of the new covenant. It is a new bonding. That new covenant is built upon sacrificial love. God, it means sacrificially we love God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's all of us on this national holiday that celebrates both change and unity remember that we are in covenant with each other and with God. And that is our Christian calling. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, remind us today, remind us of this new covenant bought at a tremendous price with your blood, sealed in your blood, but fulfilled in your love. It is a covenant of love, like a marriage is a covenant of love. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be sincere. Help us to be sacrificial. Help us to be looking out for those opportunities that we have to increase this bonding rather than pushing each other away. Lord Jesus, let your Spirit do its work in us, your brothers and your sisters. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in the red book or on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your Spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy. For the earth, for vineyards and orchards, fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas, fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations, guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy. For those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill, Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life, so that we pour out your love and service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others, Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share our signs of peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you have made all things you spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, and way of your self-giving love. For you, word of life, O God. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in glory. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us now and forever. Repeat our mission statement found on page 5 in the bulletin, that thing. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart. Amen.